In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Matthew chapter 5, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So far our text. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is important to remember that today's gospel lesson follows right on the heels of last week's Beatitudes. This is all part of one sermon, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The text says that the crowds came to Jesus, but that he is specifically teaching this to his 12 disciples. He is teaching them how they are to go forth and preach the gospel throughout all the world. As always, this historical setting does not separate us from the text's implications. But we need to make it clear. Nowhere here does Jesus say, "You, go be the light. You, go be the salt." Rather, what Jesus does say is to his disciples, "You are the salt which salts the earth." And thus, we are salted through their testimony recorded in the New Testament. Likewise, they are called the light of the world, and we are recipients of that light. And finally, Christ calls them to have a righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees, such a righteousness and perfection as only comes through faith in the one who fulfills the law. So let us begin with the salt. The Lord says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored?" Salt, as it was used on food in Jesus' day, had three main purposes. First, it cleansed the food from bacteria. Second, it flavored the food. And third, it preserved the food from decay. That Jesus is telling his disciples to salt the earth says something rather grave about you and me as people who dwell on earth. You see, apart from the apostolic teaching of Jesus, we are impure, tasteless, worthless, decaying. Let's hold off on the salt that loses its saltiness for a moment. What happens to the food if it is not salted? It rots. It decays. It makes people sick. It needs to be thrown out. That's the only thing it's good for. So what does that say about you and me? Apart from Christ, we are unclean, rotten, decaying sinners. So corrupt are we that Isaiah has us pegged, even when we try to appear faithful and devout. He says in our Old Testament lesson, "Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers." That is to say, that in the day when you try to show yourself as meek and poor in spirit, pious and religious, even then you seek your own pleasure and oppress your neighbors. You see, even in our God-given vocations, we find ways to make it all about us. That is rotten meat. We need that salt of the apostles. We need the apostles to bring us to the Beatitudes, the teaching that we are not blessed in it of ourselves, but only through our attachment to Christ can we be found blessed with the gifts of repentance and faith. And fortunately, that apostolic salt we do have, because the apostles salted the earth in the years following Christ's death and resurrection. They struck hearts with the law, leading people to repentance. And they soothed hurting hearts with the gospel of Christ's death for sinners. They preached the resurrection of the dead, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. Their salty preaching of repentance over sin and faith in the crucified and risen Messiah has cleansed our sinful flesh, has flavored our lives with new life in Christ and preserves us in the one true faith. For that apostolic salt did not die off with the apostles. Their salt has not lost its taste because their salt has been written down as Holy Scripture. Now, through the work of the Holy Spirit in God's church, we sinners are salted with the apostolic word of God. We hear it read, preached, and taught. And through the church on earth, that salt is spread across the globe and seasoned domestically as well. The true testimony of the apostles has not lost its saltiness. It will not be trampled underfoot as long as it convicts men of their sins and calls all to the forgiving and preserving word of the gospel. So Scripture remains salty. But what about us? What about our preachers and teachers? Indeed, we can lose our salt. We have been salted by the word of Christ, but think of what happens when we stray from the word of God. When we neglect the word of God, when our teachers fail to teach with the salt of Scripture, when our preachers fail to preach with the salt of Scripture, our saltiness fades. Such teachings that neglect the Holy Scriptures are the tasteless teachings that are no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled. Because the cleansing accomplished in us through the salt of God's Word cannot be exchanged for gimmicks or fads. The flavoring we receive from the apostolic teaching of Scripture cannot be replaced with preaching about celebrities, sports, or current events. And as surely as we are preserved by the preaching of Christ crucified, so conversely are we hindered and threatened by those preachers who omit this word of life and supplant it with their own personal musings, human teachings, and pandering to itching ears. Scripture itself maintains its saltiness, but the church or the individual who forsakes that salt will find his own saltiness fading more and more as the rotten, self-righteous sinner beneath becomes more and more rancid. The second metaphor Jesus applies to his newly called apostles stands in parallel to the salt metaphor. Jesus says to his apostles, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." You see, similar to the salt of the earth, apart from the light of Christ which shines through his apostles, we are lost and seated in darkness. But the light of Christ shines like a lighthouse, flooding the darkness with his salvation, overtaking the night with his shining light at the break of day. As Jesus' apostles are sent out to enlighten the world, their light, which they receive from Christ, will be visible. It is a light. That is what a light does. Only a willful shrouding of the light can prevent it from carrying out its natural function. Light shines. That is what it does. Now, how does the light of Christ shine through his apostles? Simply stated, it shines through their good works. You see, as they preached Christ crucified, these apostles healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, fed the hungry, and cared for all in need. Their preaching of the merciful God who sent his Son to die for our forgiveness was lived out through their love for their neighbors. These apostles shone the light of Christ through their witness to the lost world. They cared for all manner of infirmities with acts of mercy, and they had communion, fellowship with one another around the breaking of the bread in the Lord's Supper. This is how they shone Christ's light, through witness, mercy, and life together. but they are long dead. So as was the case with the salt metaphor, we must ask, how did this light come to shine on us in our day? And as with the salt, it was shown first through the Word of God, which recorded the teachings and works of our Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his death, and resurrection. Second, through the Holy Spirit's work in this church on earth, we received what Paul speaks of in our epistle lesson. We have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. We have received the Holy Spirit in baptism. That same Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, sanctified and kept us in the one true faith. How then do we reflect this light to the dark world that surrounds us? We reflect this light of Christ with the same witness, mercy, and life together that has always unified Christ's true church on earth. We have life together here in this place, gathered around the reading, preaching, and teaching of that salty Word of God. We are gathered around the sacraments and the forgiveness of sins. This life together as a church leads us to the acts of mercy and service within our local community and the witness that we share as sinners who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And as with the salt, the light of Christ which shone to the apostles, which the apostles have shown to us through the Word of God, and which we share with those around us, it can only be covered, hidden, or shrouded. It is a light. It will shine. So woe to the preacher, the teacher, or the church who conceals the life-giving light of God's Word in exchange for whatever gimmicks, errors, or worldliness meet our fancy. Now, I've said a lot about apostolic teaching and the New Testament. What about the Old Testament? Does it contain the light of Christ? Does it salt the earth? Absolutely. Jesus says in our gospel lesson, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." That phrase, "the law and the prophets," is the title given in Jesus' day to the 39 books that we today refer to as the Old Testament. They are the law, also known as the Torah, the first five books written by Moses, and the prophets, a term for all the other authors and their works. What Jesus is instructing his apostles is that these holy and sacred writings are not about to pass away. He did not come to contradict, deny, or abolish any of it. Rather, from Genesis to Malachi, these books testify to the work that Christ has come to do. They speak of what he has accomplished and is accomplishing in us to this day and until he returns. And Jesus goes on to say, "Not an iota, not a dot will pass away from the law until all is accomplished." Now here, in this instance, the law does not just refer to the five books of Moses and the covenant God made with Israel. Here, Jesus is also speaking of the true and everlasting law, the goodwill of God for his creation. We know this because in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is about to start preaching on the Ten Commandments. He will teach of the spirit of these Ten Commandments, and he will show his apostles that the literal letter of the law of the Pharisees is not even enough to make it into the kingdom of heaven and to fully obey God's will. Only the Son of God, the Christ, can bear this law. He will fulfill the Old Testament scriptures by living a perfect life in accord with God's will for all mankind. And yet Christ not only fulfills the Old Testament with his righteous life, but also he fulfills the Old Testament by dying a sinner's death. You see, the law and the prophets taught two things. that the righteous would live and that sinners must die. Yet in Christ we see the righteous one laying down his life and accepting the sinner's death. And so he proclaimed while hanging on his cross, "It is finished. The law of God has been accomplished. Sin has been punished, and the righteous will live." Yet the righteous who live are not sinners who rely on their own paltry works. Rather, the righteous who live are those who are righteous by faith. They are the poor in spirit that we heard about in the Beatitudes last week, who have no works of their own to offer before God, and thus they must rely on Christ's work, and that is the blessing they receive. They and we are unclean, rotten, and decaying, yet through Christ's righteous work, they are salted with the gospel, cleansed with forgiveness, and preserved in the church. We who sat in darkness with no internal light of our own are enlightened with the gifts of the Spirit, the most precious gift of Christ's redemption, his death and resurrection. And so in our preaching, teaching, and witnessing to the world, we do not relax the commandments of God. To relax the commandments of God would be to make sinners secure in their own works, teaching them that they do not fully rely on Christ. Rather, we echo what the apostles teach through Holy Scripture, that we are devoid of any good works apart from Christ. In such a worthless and darkened state, sinners such as us may then be illumined with the light of Christ, cleansed through holy baptism, and preserved through the preaching of the word and the forgiveness granted in absolution and the Lord's Supper. How richly God has salted and enlightened us, that we might ever have his prophets and apostles with us through Holy Scripture, so that they might testify to the perfecting work of Christ, who fulfills the law and redeems lost sinners such as us. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all human understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.